Our Old Testament lesson for this day is taken from the fifth book, Deuteronomy chapter 7. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all of the peoples who are in the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Then, from Romans chapter 8. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him be graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. As we continue in our Romans readings today, I'm sorry we won't be talking about cookies the whole time, but what a great way to get started, especially as I had my eyes out the window and I saw all the smoke coming up from the barbecue for our lunch afterwards. I'm already on food. Thanks for that, Marty. But we continue working our way through Romans, and 2 weeks ago we heard that we could call out to God and pray and talk to him as our Father, saying, Abba, Father. Last week, we found that even when we want to pray and we just don't have the words, God is still there, and the Holy Spirit, through us, is groaning on our behalf to the Father with these words that are inexpressible. And then today, we get to hear that this is all something God had planned because He loves you, He knew you before you were born, before your parents were born, and He wanted you to be with Him and His family. All of this, being a part of, being one of His children, seeing Him as our Father, having the gift of the Spirit in us who connects us to Him, this is all part of the plan from the beginning. As we pick up in Romans chapter 8, we get into, again, this is a topic I shared with some people beforehand. I get the opportunity to talk about something that has not been sticky or difficult at all in, you know, Christianity in the last 500 years. Predestination. Yay. If you've been through any theology training or you've been in different church bodies, this understanding how God knew us before and would even choose to have some people go to heaven and some people who He has not yet given faith to may not have faith in this life at all. How do we understand this? And how do we, as a church, as His people, rationalize how this could even happen? It really does help that we have our Old Testament reading today from Deuteronomy, verse 6 there of chapter 7. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. In the Old Testament, God had set aside His people, the Israelites, not a great nation, not a powerful nation, the least among them, in fact, we're told. And then we also see in Scripture that we are connected to this family, not by blood lineage, but by the faith that they had. You are a child of this same family line, which is why we get to sing awesome Vacation Bible School songs like Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you, good. I was making sure that I'm not the only one who knows that one. We have Vacation Bibles coming in 2 weeks. You can still volunteer. There you go, Megan, you're welcome. Thank you. We are a part of this same family, and God had chosen that you would be a part of it. Again, not even being of blood lineage, He had to find a different way to graft you into that family. He says, I want you, and I want you here with this family that I can call my children. We'll get a little bit more of that as we work through Romans chapter 8. We know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. That verse can feel a little bit like a two-edged sword sometimes. Very, very comforting to know that even as terrible things come our way, God is still going to work it out for our good. Now, that does not mean that good will always come in this life. God will work it out for our good. May also mean that He will work it out for the good of keeping us close to Him until He would bring us to our eternal home in heaven, which will be far more good than we will ever receive here in this life. But to know that even as the consequences of a broken and fallen and sinful world exist, even as we suffer pain and sickness and death, even through all of that, our God's will still persist. He will still work everything out for our good. He does this for you, because as we see in verse 29, those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He, that being Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. He sent Jesus to die for you in your place paying for all of your sins, so that Jesus, the one and only Son of God, would now become the firstborn of a whole bunch of children. Because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, you now are a part of the family. Bethany and I have often talked before in the past about, you know, what it would be like to adopt children. And we know a lot of friends who've done it, perhaps, so we've seen in our church that's happened as well. I had the opportunity of serving as a DCE, a Director of Christian Education, doing youth leadership in a previous church, where I had a youth group where it was a pretty good-sized youth group of high schoolers, and more than half of them were all adopted. That was a very different reality than I had worked in before. The idea of children being adopted into a family both comes with a cost, a physical cost, to pay to make that happen, which is unfortunate. But also, then, it comes with this cost of both pain of what you've left, but also, man, a lot of times a great respect and thankfulness for where you are now. Now, dealing with that with teenagers, as I'm sure some of you remember being teenagers, some of you are teenagers, I'm looking at you. Maybe sometimes you're not always thankful or appreciative of the correction that your parents might provide at different times or the wisdom that you receive. I'm sure all of you, though, were really perfect, perfect teenagers. Just me. I'm the only bad one. That's okay. Knowing that we all have at different times that feeling of being thankful that our God, our Heavenly Father, is there to work things out for us. Knowing also that sometimes we don't like how it happens and saying, well, why didn't you step in and change it? Why didn't you keep this from happening to me? We don't get the answers to those whys. We don't understand. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if God's doing it for our benefit in some way or if he's doing it for somebody else's benefit. But it sure is nice to know that even with everything going on, even with my own frustrations and concerns or joys or sadnesses, God is in control of all things. He is the one who's still working in the world. It's not up to me. Sometimes we want it to be, but man, it sure is nice when it doesn't have to be up to us. Continuing in verse 30. Those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Nice little layout there. This idea that he would know who we are beforehand, know you before your parents were born even, and say, I'm going to choose this person to be in my family. If I'm going to choose them to be in my family, I'm going to call them out of the world that they're born into. We're all born into sin. We all have that sinful nature that is a part of us from the beginning. He says, I'm calling you to something different, and I'm justifying you. I'm making you holy in my eyes. And believe it or not, I will glorify you. I've seen you before you were born, knowing everything you would be, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I said, I want you to be in my family. I'm calling you out of sin and darkness. I am making you holy, and I will make you holy. That's that whole idea of justification and sanctification, right? He has saved us through Jesus, and through his Holy Spirit, he continues to make us more like our older brother, the firstborn amongst our family of children. Which is just wild to think that God would choose to put in that time and effort. Tell you, I don't know. We just decided recently to say, oh, I'm not putting in the time and effort in this old car anymore. I'm getting a new one. Sure is nice to know that God looks at you and doesn't say, well, I'm done putting in the work. I'm going to get a different model. I know it's used, but it's better. No. God continues to put the work in on us. He continues to say, I want to make you more holy, more the way that I see you, my perfect son, my perfect daughter. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now that all things that he would give us does not talk about all the things we want in this earthly life. I told you we traded in our car. You'll notice that if you show up on a Tuesday, I'm not here in a Maserati. It's a nice car. I like it. It's fine. It works. I have what I need. But all the things that we need, everything that we have to have, he does give us. He provides for us in our food, our clothes, our shelter, in our community, our family. But most importantly, he provides for the rest of our existence. We understand this life to feel very long. It feels like, man, we have seen and gone through so much. And these lives can be longer for some than others, and we have seen many things. And even if it's not been a whole lot of years, again, I understand I'm on the car theme now. It's at least I'm off of food. It's not the years, it's the mileage. Sometimes you've been through a lot of miles. You've been through a lot of hard things. And yet God says, through all of this, I will see you through. I'll continue to provide for you. And I will provide for something that you can't see, eternity, which is going to be, of course, far longer than any of the years and miles you put on now. We are so very thankful that our God who loves us, has put us in his family, has also said, I will continue to provide for you. Picking up in verse 33 then, the focus shifts off of just our own needs and focuses on the things around us. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? None of us are allowed to condemn anybody. None of us are allowed to look at someone and say, wow, that person, they clearly are not one of God's elect. They are not chosen because did you see them? I mean, they're a Green Bay Packers fan. They're just the worst. That's why I say that about myself because I am one. It's okay. Don't worry. We're good. I've got a couple friends here. Whatever it might be, for whatever reason, you might look at someone and say, wow, that person, that's not one of God's children. I've not seen the outward signs that show me clearly this person is a part of that family. Who would we be to say that? God is the one who chooses who to justify. God is the one who knows who's going to heaven and who will not be with us in our heavenly home, but will instead be in hell. It is not our job to know. It is our job just to continue to love people. And similarly, who outside of our group could ever tell us that we don't belong to God and that we don't have a promised eternal salvation with Jesus? There is no one. Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus Christ is there next to the Father saying, "There with me." Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Shall anything, even active persecution and killing of God's people, should any of it be able to separate us from the love of God? Not one thing. The picture that we have for today with our sermon picture, it reminds me of Psalm 23. I've had the opportunity to do a funeral and a graveside service recently, and to get to say Psalm 23, which is part of our funeral liturgy, at the time where we most clearly see the fallout of the consequences of sin in the world, which is death, this psalm really hits home. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter how dark everything would seem around us, our Lord is there with us. There's nothing that can reach out from the darkness to take us away or snatch us out of God's hands. Because God has said, "You are mine," his goodness and his mercy will follow you every day of your life. There are times where it'll feel like it's not there because you're going through extreme pain. But our God has promised that he is there with you, even in your pain, even in your sadness. I should change that. Especially in your pain and in your sadness, God is there with you. It's his promise. He knew the pain that you would suffer before you were born. And he said, just like he chose you to be his child, I will be there with them even through the worst of it. Our prayer is that God would help us to see him at work, to see his will, because we know that he's there. And the great thing is that we know and we trust that all of these pains, all of these sadnesses, even martyrdom itself, is temporary. Which is why in verse 37, Paul can say, no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Him who loved us so much as to send Jesus, he has already defeated anything that could take us away from him, making us more than conquerors. It's really fun. Our Greek word for today is one that's also a long one. I apologize. Can't put it in your back pocket and walk around as easily with it, but it's pretty funny at the beginning at least. That phrase, more than conquerors, is actually just one word. It's hooper nikomen. Super conquerors. Hooper, hooper. You can almost hear it. Just put the S right there at the beginning of hooper. It's super. Super nikomen. Super conquerors. You are the greatest version of a conqueror that could ever exist because Christ has done that for you. Everything that could possibly take you away from God couldn't do it. Sin, death, and the devil cannot physically take you from him. He says, I am with you. You are mine. Nothing will separate the two of us because you have more than conquered. You have super conquered through Christ who is in you, all of it. Death itself has been defeated. You do not need to fear. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you, you super conqueror you, you who have Jesus Christ in you, you who are God's chosen child before all creation. God loves you dearly. And may that peace continue to guard and keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.